Okay, so we're about to begin a new sugya. It's new in the sense that we're going to be reading the Gemara inside the sugya for the first time, but it is a little bit of a chazara. Some of the points we've spoken about over the course of the last several months is going to be drawing back on something that we spoke to about all the way back, literally the first week, on the Machlokes HaTanaim about how to dispose of chametz. According to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, ein bi chametz ala sreifa, you have to burn the chametz. There's no other option. According to the Chachamim, hashpasasa b'chol davar, you can just as well you can crumple it up, throw it to the wind, throw it to the ocean, throw it to the river, as long as they flush it down the toilet. As long as the chametz is disposed of properly, that's perfectly acceptable. So why are we even talking about this here? The real sugya is in the second parak. So how does it make its appearance here? So it's based on the following: the Gemara on the Hamad Aleph is discussing what is the pshat in the word Yom HaRishon. That's the key phrase. Ach Yom HaRishon. The Torah is telling us that there's a mitzvah tashbisu on the Yom HaRishon. When is Yom HaRishon? So if you would have asked me, Rashi even alludes to this in his first parasha, if you would have asked us, the Bipshuta Shemikra, Yom HaRishon means the first day of Pesach. It's Tazvav Nisan. So the Torah Shabbat is very, very quick to dispel that thought and tell us, no, it's not true. But the Yom HaRishon means Erev Pesach. How do we know that to be true? So the Gemara lists a whole array of different sources in Tanaim, prices and prices, and Amoraim get into the act, a whole different sources to prove to us that Yom HaRishon is Lav Dach, Yom HaRishon actually refers to Erev Pesach. So we've pointed this out in several times in the past. This seems to be a classic example of what the Rambam highlights for us in his introduction to Pesach Mishnayos, that every once in a while there's a Pesach Chumash, and the meaning of the pasuk is somewhat vague. Not only is it vague, but it almost probably, again, the pshuto means something different. And yet, the Tosh B'Peh insists for us that that is not the case. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, the same Nirashlam who wrote the Torah, Tosh B'Chsav, so dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu the interpretations of that Tosh B'Chsav, the Tosh B'Peh. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu explained to Moshe Rabbeinu that that phrase in the Chumash doesn't mean exactly what you thought it meant. It really means something a little bit different. Let's say, for example, one of the most famous examples that the Rambam gives is Ayin Tachas Ayin. If you were Stamet Stuki, Stamet Karoi, reading the Chumash, you probably would have thought that Ayin Tachas Ayin means literal. So the Kamash Malo, the Tosh B'Peh, that's not true. It means a mamam. Or let's say, for example, Machos HaShabbos. You would have thought that Machos HaShabbos means the day of the Saturday. You always start getting experience Omer from a Sunday. No, Kamash Malo, the Tosh B'Peh, Machos HaShabbos refers to Yom. So how do we know that this is true? Because Ish B'Pishan Moshe Rabbeinu, P'yashmol Lamdu. There's no question about that. However, says the Rambam, notwithstanding the fact that we know this to be true, because Kach Nimtzolot Ish B'Pishan Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara will go out of its way to quote-unquote prove it to us from Sukkim, from sometimes fascinating drushes to show you that, let me show you in the Tosh B'Chsav, Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamun. Let me show you in the Tosh B'Chsav that Machos HaShabbos means the first day of Yom Tov. So comes the Rambam and explains that sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us dinim that are fundamentally Tosh B'Peh, but he also encoded those dinim into the Torah, into Tosh B'Chsav. And if we really understood Tosh B'Chsav properly, we really understood the mechanisms of Jewish and the nuances of Tosh B'Chsav properly, we'd be able to actually rediscover those dinim. So even if we were stuck on a desert island somewhere, and we didn't know, we didn't have a Rebbe, we didn't have a Rebbe, hard for us to reconstruct the Tosh B'Peh properly, either based on the Pesukim, but Luyitzuya, that we lost that Misori, even in the Niach, that we don't remember where the Ayat HaChzayin is Dafka, we could still reconstruct it on our own, if we knew how to do it properly. So that's what the Gemara is explaining to us in the 8th Parak of Bava Kama, and in Maseches Menachos, that you can have sometimes a din that at the end of the day, we know the din to be true. It's not like we're sitting around in the days of the Tanoim and philosophizing. What do we think Ayat HaChzayin means? One Tana says it's Mamun, one Tana says take out the guy's eye. That's not what's happening. It's not that there's a machlek is what it means and we're trying to figure out. That we have no, we know exactly what it means because we have a clear Besorah. But still, part of the Torah Shabbat is that there's a way to derive those dinim from the Torah Shabbat. So the Rambam says this is in contrast to other kinds of dinim that are very often learned out from drushas. So this also gets a little bit tricky, but at least the Rambam's understanding is that very often a drusha is not necessarily this. A drusha could be a different category of Torah Shabbat, where the din was taka not nimsal Moshe Rabbeinu, the prop was not nimsal Moshe Rabbeinu, but the klalim of had the right halachas was in Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was given the meat of Kavach Haimin and Metzino and Beginav and Ashtik Suv and all those things. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us, you have to take all those klolim, and now when a new question comes up, you don't have a clear-cut Masorah on, figure it out on your own. Figure how do you bedava milsa milsa? That's what the Torah says. Ki yipolim yimcha davala mishpat. You're having a mishpat. Bindam ladam, bindim ladin, bindnevelet. You have no idea what to do. Is it azoy? Is it azoy? Is it samotere? Samotere? So divi rivas b'sharecha. So one time that gives up azoy, one person says azoy. You come to Elisa, you come to the base of it, you come to Elisha's and Gaza, you come to the base of Gaza, and you're machriya what the din is. So the Rambam tells us that parsha of you have a shayla, you have a machlekes, not sure what to do, one's bringing a right. So that doesn't apply to these kinds of din. That doesn't apply to the Rambam coins the phrase, Perusha b'kabbalah m'sinai. There is no one person that's saying, ayin tachasayin is ma'amish, and the other one saying no. Nobody's saying machas Shabbos is Sunday. Somebody else is saying yantin. There are people saying it. They're called up Bikarsim. They're called snukim. They're not, that's not a machlekes. There's no elu divra like b'chayim for Bikarsim. That's not, I always say that there are different degrees of machlekes. But not all machlekesim are the same. So sometimes you have machlekes. The other view is it is a Torah acceptable vantage point. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to follow the halacha. So if I think the halacha is differently, so if I'm a bar halachi, the paskin, I have to follow my view. But I respect the other view as being an acceptable elevated. Then sometimes you have a situation where there's another point of view. The other point of view is wrong. It's pushing dead wrong. It's against this, it's against that, it's against this. So it's wrong. It's not elevated, it's just pushing wrong. It doesn't mean the person who's espousing that view is a kaiser. Not every mistake is kfira. So then you have a third level where the alternate view, the opposing view, is kfira. That's a different ballgame. So the first view, so I have to treat that with the utmost respect, and I acknowledge that that's a valid point of view. The middle category, I should still treat it with respect, the person still, I mean, everyone ultimately deserves it. Well, it's another time, another place, that discussion. But the middle category, so the view is espoused by a Torah authority who made a mistake. Okay? We are all human. We make mistakes. The great Tamachachachar also makes mistakes. Sometimes you get the impression that someone will say, it's impossible, it's kfira to say that a great Tamachachar is going to make a mistake. I think that's a shal of kfira to make such a statement, because then you're kofer in the parashah chumash. There's a parashah chumash called the Sanhedrin makes a mistake, and they paskin incorrectly about a very, very serious issue, about this issue, and it's a kares. And the Torah gives us a whole parashah, what do you have to do? So they have to make a kares in the chapter. If the Beis Din can't make a mistake, then you just took the parashah of the Rebbe Shalom and threw it into the garbage. So obviously, the Beis Din HaGadol, 71 Zekanim sitting in the Lishkas HaGozis could conceivably make a mistake. Possible. It doesn't mean we walk around saying that Rabbanim always make mistakes, but we are human and we do sometimes make mistakes. So back to this story. So it's most probable that this sugi that we're about to embark upon is very much part of that model of the Rambam. Achmi Amarishan Tashbisu, we don't find anywhere in Chazal there should be an alternate view that says, an opposing sheet that says, no, you have to get rid of your chametz in the first day of Pesach. Rabbi Pliny Aymer, no, Yesh Armin on Tesva. I never heard of such a thing. The reason why we never heard of such a thing is because most probably this is, as the Rambam says, Pia Shmuel Lomdu, this is a tradition, this is something that we have, Ishri Pisha Bet Shabbat. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Torah Shabbat different ways of figuring it out. Even if you were stuck in a desert island and you didn't have access to that Messiah, if you truly understood the Lashon HaTorah, you could figure it out on your own.
There must be a reason why it's seemingly confusing.
Oh, excellent, very good. So the truth is that this is almost a little bit more in the realm of Machshava than in Halacha. Why is it that, why does the Torah always, quote unquote, seem to confuse? Why does the Torah write Ayin Tachas Ayin? Mammon, why didn't say Mammon? So many of the Mepharshim explain, because the Torah is trying to tell us, if you meet a Sadin, you should be able to lose your eye. It means you poked at somebody else's eye, you deserve not to be able to see for the rest of your life. That's what really should happen. And then, so one could say that Achmi Marishon is trying to highlight the fact that Erev Pesach is, in a certain sense, the first day of Pesach. We know that Erev Pesach is a Shtol Yontif much more than anything else. Those are learning the Vyomi, Tav Nishchat, and the Ildvar now. So Erev Pesach is a very, very special day. Actually, if you look in the Chumash itself, so the word Pesach, the name Pesach, does not even refer to the holiday that we call Pesach. The word Pesach in Chumash refers to Erev Pesach. It's explicit. The Torah says, the correct term for Pesach, the correct pure halachic term for what we call today Pesach, is Chag HaMatzos. That's the famous verse from Lev Yitzchak Berditchev. Why is it the Klai so called the Pesach if it's not really Pesach? So you see that Achbi HaMarishon is almost saying to us that it's almost Yom, it's already Yom, it's already the HaMarishon. It's not really truly. It's not the Yom Rishon Nagabe Melacha. It's not the Yom Rishon Nagabe making the Seder yet. It's not the Yom Rishon Nagabe Yisukomish yet. But it's already Yom Rishon. It's already Pesach's in the air. Erev Pesach, Yiftach Hatzelos, is not the same as Erev Shavuos Yiftach Hatzelos. It's a very, very different model. And there are many, many nachgiras. So perhaps that's part of the reason why the Torah almost, quote unquote, sets us up. They're calling it the Yom Rishon. Maybe just a thought. But even though the source for this din, that Yom HaRishon refers to Erev Pesach, is clearly Ishvi Pishon Moshe Rabbeinu, if Chazal understood that this is part of that category of Tesha B'Peh, that there are psukim to support it, that the psukim have to hold their own, we're not going to come up with some kind of a flimsy, you know, this is not like nothing bad about Shalosh Shuddis Torahs, but this is not some kind of a drush that we're going to get up and give a half-baked gematria that's off by a few and say Lav Dafka. No, this is not what we're looking for. We're looking for a real, true, iron-clear drusha that holds its own, that stands up to the rigor of analysis of drushas, even though this drasha is, in a certain sense, not necessary, even though we know the din even without the drasha. So it's clear from the Gemara, when the Gemara does this with Ayat HaChazayin and Mochus HaShabbos and other places, the Gemara takes these drashas with the utmost seriousness, and they have to be correct with the Midas HaDrasha. So that's really where the sugya starts here also. And the Ham and Aleph, the Gemara quotes a whole array of different sources. As to how do you know that Yom HaRishon means Erev Pesach? So we're just going to pick up two sources. We're going to pick up the Braisa on the bottom of Hamet Aleph. First, the Ramakins. Tani Nam Yochi. Achmi Rishon Tashbisor Vatechem Erev Yontif. Ein El Yontif Atzmo. Ask the Braisa. Maybe it refers Kipshuto to Yontif. Talmud Loim El Sishkol HaChametz Dam Zivchi. We know from other places that there's an Isser to Shech to come in Pesach when you own Chametz. And we know that the Zman Shechitz HaPesach is Chatzos. Connected dots, the Torah is in effect telling us is that don't shecht the Korban Pesach with Chametz still around, i.e. by 12 o'clock in Erev Pesach, all Chametz should be cleared out, which leads us to believe, oh, that's probably what the Torah means in Pashas Bo also. So the Psukim in Mishpatim and Kisisa that refers to Divinissa, Losishcha Chametz is Divinissa. But for the institution of the Yisra Losishcha, which is linked to Erev Pesach, it seems pretty clear that the Kavanah of Torah is for Erev Pesach by Chatzal's thing should be cleared out. So that was Rabbi Shmuel's source. But now our Sugi begins. Rabbi Kiva Oimim, Enotzar. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you don't even need that. Rabbi Kiva is not saying it's wrong, he's just saying it's unnecessary. The Torah says you have to get rid of chametz on the Yom HaRishon. It's the correct gear, sir. It says that malacha cannot be done on Yom Tov. And we all know, says Rabbi Akiva, that burning Sreif Havara is a malacha on Shabbos. It's an av malacha. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva connects the dots. Says, wait a second. Imagine for a second if the Kavanah Satara would have been Kipshuto, Yom HaRishon means on the first day Yom Tov. Now we know that we can't do that. You're not allowed to be doing that on Yom Tov. Because what the Torah would have been telling us is to go burn a chametz on Yom Tov. And that's inconceivable the Torah would have made such a statement to burn your chametz. You can't do that. That's an Isser Malacha. And since the Torah could never have told us to do something that itself is asur, you see from here that Yom HaRishon means Erev Pesach. Atkan, the drasha of Rabbi Akiva. Now there's a lot of work, a lot of fine tuning to be done on the sugya as to how to understand all the assumptions that went into what Rabbi Akiva said. But the thing that's clear is Rabbi Akiva is assuming is that there's no way the Torah would have given us a mitzvah that involved the violation of an aveira. which is a very, very startling premise, because the Torah does it all the time. There's a din of Esi Nechalosa, say, there's a din of Mila Dechashabis, there's a din of Pesach Dechashabis. We don't want to be like the B'nai B'seira who forgot the Pesach Dechashabis. I mean, there are many times the Torah gives us a mitzvah, one mitzvah is Dech, another Risa. So why did Rabbi Akiva find it almost inconceivable that it can't be Tashbis, it can't be on Yom Tov, because that would be Asur. Could be Asur. Tashbis was Dech, this is Yom Tov. So the Chara Rabbi Akiva meant was as follows, that we're sitting on a desert island and we have this pasuk out there that says Yom HaRishon, and there are two ways to interpret Yom HaRishon. There's the simple pshat, meaning Yom Tov, or there's the little bit not so simple pshat, which is also a viable pshat, but I wouldn't have necessarily gone down that route unless I had some compelling evidence to do so. So I could say Yom HaRishon means Erev Yom Tov. It's possible to feed Kali Adiktuk and Kali Lashon HaKodesh, Kali Atayra. It could be I could pull off the stunt and say Yom HaRishon means Erev Yom Tov. So I have two choices on the board. Either it means Yom Tov or it means Erev Yom Tov. Which way do I go? So now, Midas HaDrush, when you have a drush has to make sense. It has to fit into the patterns of Halacha. So if I have two, in a sense, valid ways of interpreting Yom HaRishon, one of them will involve a violation of an Isur, and one of them will not. It is more likely, it is more mistaber, that the Torah did not tell me to violate Isurim. Now, every once in a blue moon, the Torah does tell me to violate Isurim. I'm not denying the fact that it didn't come in place as Dech HaShabbos. I'm not denying that Esi Dech HaLos. I'm not denying Mivas Dizman as Dech HaShabbos. It's true. Those didn't do exist, and they are possible within the Torah scheme of things. But each one is somewhat a chiddush, somewhat unlikely. It is much more logical to say that the formulation of the mitzvah of Torah was given to us in a way where no Avera is violated. Why should we say that the Torah is telling us to violate an Avera when we have an equally valid way of interpreting the pasuk that wouldn't involve a violation of an Avera? That goof is part of Midas HaDrush. That's part of the Midas HaDrush as we have. But if you have an opportunity to interpret a pasuk in one manner versus another manner, you try to keep it in sync with everything else. So here it's Rabbi Akiva saying, I have two paths in front of me, either Erev Pesach or Pesach. Going down the route of Erev Pesach will be glot, hadrit, no Isser, no, it's a breeze. Going down the route of Pesach itself will mean, oh, it's an Isser, Esidach HaLosa say, Tashbis HaZdech HaMalacha. It will require a whole Shia Klola to explain how that works. So the Midah Shetar Adrashah points to the direction you opt for Erev Pesach. That's the more correct Rasha. That's the more correct way of interpreting it. That's Rabbi Akiva's flow. But of course, there's a big problem with Rabbi Akiva. What malach? Who malach? What? Which malach exactly is it one violation of when destroying chametz on Yom Tov? Now again, now we're playing the imaginary game. Now we're talking about a mitzvah tashbisu on Yom Tov that we know in the reality doesn't exist. We're playing along with Rabbi Akiva. Imtum tzalaymer, it would have been Yom HaRishon, it would have been Yom Tov, it would have been some kind of an isser involved. And it's that phantom isser. That's the engine that's driving Rabbi Akiva to push Yom HaRishon back to meeting Erev Pesach. So comes Rava and says, really, what malach exactly? Which malach are we talking about? What would have been wrong? We're doing Bir Chametz on Pesach itself, on Yom Tov itself. So comes the Gemara and says, I think we, 1 second. Oh, the bottom here, Amar Rava. So the second to last line in the first Amar Mikamas. Rabbi Akiva's formulation, we could derive three things. The other two things we're going to have to put on for the next sigis, but this is where our sigis are. Shma mina, ein bi chametz al asreifa. You see, clear as day, that Rabbi Akiva subscribes to the view of ein bi chametz al asreifa. Now, at least we've identified the malacha. At least we know which terrible malacha there is. What's Rava saying? Imtim to Leimar, be a chametz with a man, just crumbling it up and flushing it down the toilet. Why can't you do that on Yom Tov? It must mean that be a chametz requires a type of an action that cannot be done on Yom Tov. And the only action that is a shreifa. So you see from here, Kesavah Rabbi Akiva, and be a chametz all a shreifa. Now again, Rabbi Akiva is not the only one to say such a thing. We know this already from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was one of the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. So we have reason to believe that there are other people out there who also subscribe to Ebi Chametz al-Sefer. We've identified Rabbi Akiva as being one of them. Oh, okay, Yom Tov. We don't say Shabbos. Yom Tov. You can't do Sreifas Chametz on Yom Tov. Now, you're probably, Aaron's bothered me away. He said, well, since when can't you light a fire in Yom Tov? Since when can't you throw something into the fire in Yom Tov? So you got to come back for next week and 2 weeks and 3 weeks. So the Gemara is going to go through all the other Shemami knows and maybe keep it to try to prove why in fact, is lighting the Chametz? Why is throwing the Chametz in the fire Malach on Yom Tov? What's wrong with that? But for our purposes, we don't need that yet. We just have to walk away with the following, that ain't be a Chametz on the Sreif. So we can already raise the first hakira. It's a hakira that we've spoken about a little bit in the past, but it comes back to us, staring us in the face now. This view of Rabbi Akiva, Ein bir chametz el ha-shreifa. How do you understand pshat in this halacha? It's not just Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda also. Ein bir chametz el ha-shreifa. So one can understand this one of two ways. One can understand that this machlaik is between the Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yehuda people against the other view, against the Rabbanan, is really revolving around the mitzvah tashbisa. Everything starts and ends with tashbisa. The Torah says, "Ach v'yam arishon tashbisa v'teichem." In addition to by Rabbi Motzi, is a mitzvah essay in the Torah to dispose of chametz, to destroy chametz. Tashbisa v'teichem. Now the Tanaim having a machlokes, what the nature of that mitzvah? How do you do that mitzvah? Do you do that mitzvah dafka? Is the Torah requiring us a very, very specific method of hashbasa? That method is biur, is shreifa. What do I say now? Tashbisu just means destroy, get rid of mashbashbis. You can be mashbis the chametz by throwing it into the river, into the lake, etc. It's the same thing. So the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda against the Rabbanan is the machlokes within Tashbisu. The starting point is Tashbisu. Now there are two lines coming out of Tashbisu. So you go down the very, very specific method of Tashbisu, Sreifa, but you branch out and say, no, any method of Ashbasa is good enough. But the machlokes really looked at Hilchos Tashbisu. What does it mean? Maybe no. Maybe we're going down the wrong route. What does Tashbisa mean? I don't know what Tashbisa means. I don't want to bring up the previous sugya. Maybe we should. Maybe Tashbisa doesn't even mean destruction. Maybe it just means bittul altogether. Maybe we're going down the wrong route. Maybe the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva against the Chachamim has nothing to do with it. It's Tashbisa. You learn Mechaz Chedek Mitzvah Tess and figure out what Tashbisa is. Look at the Ram Mechaz Chedek Mitzvah Back Beish and figure out what Tashbisa is. This is a different machlekes Lagamri. This machlekes is rooted in a different masechta. It's rooted in the sugyas and the other masechas tmura. Mishnah tells us in the other masechas tmura that there are whole listings of different yisuri hana'a that the halacha requires to be disposed of in different ways. Say, lamashal, orla. You can't just take all and throw it to the garbage. It's a mitzvah sreifa in orla. It's a mitzvah sreifa in kilya kerem, whatever that mitzvah sreifa means. Also, b'chala, just throw it to the garbage. You have Seir Nazir, you have Petach Hamor, you have Shor Nisko, just throw it to the garbage, finished. So certainly, Yisuri Hanah, the halacha requires have to be disposed of in method A, and others, there is no such requirement. So that's where the Mishnah divides up the Yisuri Hanah into Nisrafan and Nikbar. How do you know which is which? It's all based on Psukh, all based on drashas. So one could argue that maybe what's going on in this Machlaikis Hatanaim, where the Ein B'chametz El Sreifa, is not really rooted in Hilchos Tashbisu. It's really rooted in the Sugya Maseches Tmura. To fulfill Tashbisu, I could fulfill Tashbisu, whether I throw it to the fire or throw it to the river. Tashbisu just means get rid of it. So once the mitzvah says Sef Tashbisu, I was successful with any method whatsoever of destruction. But there's a second halacha. Two did him. But not just the Psach, but Tmura also. Still in Kachem Kol. So in Sugyas of Maseches Tmura, require of you that certain Yisrael are not a Te'unim Sreifa, other Yisrael are not Te'unim Sreifa, and now the Tadam having Machlaikas, which one of those two categories does Chametz fall under? But the whether or not you're going to do Sreifa doesn't impact Yuzer on the Mitzvah Tashbisim. So that's the basic, most famous Chakira that the Gedolei Chachamim discuss concerning the Mitzvah of Tashbisu and its relationship, the lack thereof, to the Machlaikas of Tanoim about Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa. So one of the great Acharonim who took a stand on this issue was the Michas Chinuch. We've quoted Michas Chinuch in the past. Michas Chinuch was a big supporter of the idea that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Akiva's Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa is absolutely nothing to do with Tashbisu. Tashbisu, I'll figure out other eights how to do Tashbisu. Maybe it's Bittul, maybe it's not Bittul, maybe it's Tashbisu's Bechodov. I don't know yet what Tashbisu is, but it's not, says Michas Chinuch. The requirement of Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa is not part and parcel of the mitzvah Tashbisu. That's a big break to the Michas Chinuch. Other Gedali Yalim said this also. The Siva said this. Al Chavazdah said this also. However, the Pashtus Hadvarim is that that is very, very difficult, because there seem to be two Gemaras that seem to suggest the other direction, seem to suggest what before these Gedalia Charonim came along, what probably everybody else thought, that the Machlekes HaTanaim is very, very much a part and parcel of the Mitzvah Tashbisu. They are very much arguing about the details, how to perform the Shmitz. It's not a tangential Machlekes. It's not a Talmudic Machlekes. It's very much a Psachim Machlekes. So on Friday, we're going to get to look back at our sugya, because our sugya may be one of those Gemaras, and then another Gemara on Daf Chav Zayin, and it'll also set the stage for us to understanding what the din of Ein B'Yachol Mitzal Sarif is within the world of Rebbe Kiva. I didn't say we passed like Rebbe Kiva yet, I didn't say we passed like a Buda yet, but we have to first understand the relationship, a lack thereof, to Tashbisu, and then be able to go a little bit deeper to understand what is this Shita, what is this all about, Ein B'Yachol Mitzal Sarif, and why do so many Tanoim disagree with it, what's the nature of that Machlekes of Hashem that's going to set the stage for this Sarif Shabbat Friday. Thank you.